things are not always as they seem. For some things start large. People say, ooh, look at that. And sometimes those things that start large end up very small. And there are those things that start small. And they go almost unnoticed. And yet they will grow and increase till it fills the heavens. It was that way in the birth of my son. Oh, the angels acknowledged him, and we told the shepherds, and we told the people that needed to know, but for the most part, it was very insignificant. It was just a curiosity, even to the shepherds. And later, when the wise men showed up, oh, that was a curiosity too, but it aroused the attention of the king. Because the king understood what was happening, that his time was coming to an end. And so he sought to kill the curiosity, that which was different, that which was unexpected. And yet, that child that was born, my Messiah, my deliverer, had come into the earth. And he has changed the course and the destiny of this world in a way that many have not yet begun to comprehend. But that Savior, that light in the darkness, has saved so many people. And yet he's still an enigma. He's still a confusion to those that would pass by and not notice. And yet he is the Savior of the world. And he is the Messiah that was to come. And he is now the King that is soon to return. And when he returns, many will say, oh, this is what they spoke of. And they still will not know. For to them it will still be a curiosity. But for others, they will see their redemption drawing nigh. And they will be caught up with me, declares God. While others still wonder, and others are walking in their confusion. But the confusion comes because they have rejected my baby. They've rejected my word. That which seems so small, that which is so insignificant, they've rejected my word. They've rejected my calling, my message, my communication with them. And so they walk in the blindness and they walk in the darkness, not comprehending what I have done. But you are not of those, for you have heard my word and you've received my word. And that word is the light of the world. And that word in you that seems even to you to be so small and so insignificant, and yet it has transformed your life, not just for today, but for all time, for forever. It has changed who you are and changed your destiny and changed you from death into life. Do not count it as a small thing, but see it as what it is. It's my entrance into you. And that little entrance has done great and mighty things. And you, like my son, have become a wonder in the world. A curiosity that others look at and say, well, they're peculiar. Yeah, you are. But to me, I call you special. I call you a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, King of kings, Lord of lords. I've called you to fill the heavens with my praise. to walk with me and to know me as the mighty one who has changed your life. So appreciate the little things that are going on and let them become the large things in your life, declares God. Praise you, Father. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Let's repeat our favorite verse with it together, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus always leads us in triumph. And the Advent season is a part of that as we think about Jesus leading us, because the Advent season is celebrating the arrival of Jesus Christ. And no one, now John the Baptist preceded him, but yet Jesus was even leading him for the timing of what was going on in this Advent season. So I want you to think about this season that God always leads us. We're celebrating the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees our needs before we're even aware of them. You know, people didn't know they were lost until Jesus came. They had no awareness. And it's kind of like us, before Jesus came into our life, we didn't know how lost we were. I mean, I thought I was getting along okay. Things were kind of miserable. But when Jesus showed up in my life, I finally realized how really lost I was. And that's something, because I'm a preacher's kid. And I've been in church all my life. I mean, as soon as I got out of the hospital, I mean, I was in church services. And if we had evening service, I was in the evening service. And I was there for Wednesday. I was there for Sunday school. Church has always been a second home to me. And yet when Jesus came into my life, I found out I was lost. And he was leading me. And he showed me that in my life and in the progress of my life, I had enough common sense, I guess, to not mess it up too awful much. But yet even in that, he was leading me to that point of salvation and working with me and calling me until I began to yield my life to him. So Jesus is the Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. He is the one who makes a way for us before we even knew that there was a way. And he's making a way of access to him. And this brings us to our foundation scripture for this series. I guess I could call this a higher way. But 1 Corinthians 1:30, verse 30 and 31, it says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." And we're on our fourth part of this. So we're talking about redemption, a higher redemption than what we have ever thought about for ourselves. We've said this, the Christian life is not just difficult to live, it is impossible to live through our own ability. You can't do this on your own. People have tried for years, oh, I'm a Christian, and yet we come up hollow, we come up empty, because there's a higher way than what man's way is. And so you can work to be a Christian, you can do good works, you can do all the other things, but that doesn't make you a Christian. The only way to become a Christian is to yield to Jesus Christ, to give him control of your life, to let him come in and let him make his home in us. It's a higher way. It's not me doing for God, it's letting God do for me what I cannot do for myself. And this brings us to this point of redemption, because to redeem means to be bought with a price. Now, catch this, because this is real significant. Since it is impossible for us to pay the price for ourselves, someone else must be willing to pay. You can't. I was thinking about this morning. If someone was holding me hostage and they want a redemption price, I could say, well, let me loose. I'll go to the bank. I'll get a check, and I'll come right back. They're going to say, no, because once I let you go, you're not going to come back. So he's not going to let me. So there's no way I can pay my own redemption. There's also no way, because I don't even know what the price is. And you still don't know what the price was for your redemption. You don't know what it cost. We can kind of guess at it, but we don't know, we cannot fathom what it costs for God to redeem us. Therefore, if you don't know the price, you can't pay it. But Jesus, or the Father, knew the price, and he sent Jesus because he has made to be redemption for us, a higher redemption of what we can pay for ourselves. And this is because it's written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. If you could pay your own price, you would glory in you. Look what I have done. I've been able to raise my own price. But because we're dependent upon God to pay that price for us, we can only glory in God. I'm redeemed, but not by my own efforts. I'm redeemed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I'm redeemed for what he has done for me, of which I had nothing to do with. I had no part in my own redemption to a degree. I'm going to contradict that here in a little bit. But the basic redemption is what Jesus has done for me. Now, if you go to vines, redemption is a releasing for a ransom. It's not just the ransom. It's the release resulting from the ransom paid. See, Jesus is our redemption, but Jesus paid a price to set us free. It's not just because Jesus went to the cross and he has paid the price of our redemption that we're free until we act on that redemption. Now, let me give you a few scriptures. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." So Jesus came to be that ransom payment for us. In Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord," Jesus said, "the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives," that's redemption, "and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Again, to proclaim liberty to the captives and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, I've said this in previous years, but just because they open the prison door doesn't mean you're free. You can pay the prison ward off. They can open the cell door for you, but if you refuse to leave the cell, you're still in jail. And many people were celebrating redemption, hallelujah, and we're still in the jail cell. We haven't gotten out of jail yet. You know, it's kind of like Monopoly. I got to get out of jail free card. Well, if you're not in jail, it doesn't mean anything. But you save it. And then when you go to jail, you don't keep waving the card because you can just lose your turn and lose your turn and lose. You've got to turn that card in. And the redemption isn't complete till you turn the card in and get out of jail. But too many of us are content to live in a cell. And we think we're free because the door's open. I can leave anytime I want to. Yeah, why don't you? Well, it's scary out there. Yeah, it is scary out there. Because when you leave the jail cell, listen, in the jail cell, they provide meals for you. They provide a prison garment for you. Robes of unrighteousness, you know. A skinny meal, fat-free, no cheese. But when you get out of jail, you have got to start providing your own clothes. You've got to start feeding yourself. You know, I mean, when Israel was in the wilderness, life was grand. Now, ladies don't like this, but the Bible says their clothes never wore out. Think about that, ladies. You're wearing the same clothing for 40 years. Because Debbie says she does sometimes, but it never wears out. But when they got in the promised land, guess what? Their clothes started wearing out. Oh, man, we like the wilderness. I mean, God just gave us manna every day. All we had to do was go out and gather it. When you moved into Israel, when you moved into the promised land, God still provided, but now you had to raise the cattle. You had to feed the cattle. You had to sell the cattle, get them to market. You had to do all these other things. And all of a sudden, it was just like, it's kind of like when they got out of Egypt. Man, at least we had garlic and leeks and stuff to eat in Egypt. Can't we go back there? And so often we want to return to where we were because we don't understand we're free. Miles Monroe said it like this: it's easier to be a slave than it is to be free. Because once you're free, now you've got responsibilities. A slave doesn't have responsibilities. A slave, everything is provided for him so that he can work. Because they don't want slaves having to be burdened down with the necessities of life. Now, they didn't have luxuries, but they had the necessities. Because they wanted them to work in the field. But once you got free, you didn't have a master feeding you and clothing you and giving you shelter. You had to do it on your own. That's why, if I can do this, that's why welfare is a cheat, because it makes you feel like you're free, but it brings you into bondage, because it trains you how to live off the generosity of other people, and you never have to work for yourself. And see, redemption gets you out of jail if you will take it. Let's move on. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and mediator between God and man, and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, or to be revealed in due time. So here we have, again, Jesus is that ransom. 1 Corinthians 6:20. We're going to come back to this a little bit later. But it says, for you were bought with a price, therefore, because you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. But it tells us you were bought with a price. Well, what was the cost of our redemption? 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You weren't redeemed with cash. You weren't redeemed with gold or silver. You weren't redeemed with natural things. It says, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. See, we were caught up in, why do we do what we do? Well, that's how you were trained to do it. And as long as you were trained to do it, you just keep on doing it. And you keep repeating what everybody else did before you, because that's what everybody else did. And you don't know why you do it, but we just do it this way. And so we were caught in the traditions of our life, of our culture, never knowing there was ever anything different. But it goes on in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, if Christ had never gone to the cross, if Jesus had never died for us, you would not be redeemed. Most of us wouldn't even have hope, because we didn't know there was anything different. And we would just be caught in our incorruptible things, in tradition of our fathers. But we were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now think about this. This is the Son of God who became flesh. That would be humiliating enough, you know, to have a king, Lord of all things, becoming limited for the first time in his life, limited by flesh, limited, no longer able to have the communication with God, his Father, as he always has, because they're one and they're inseparable. But suddenly he became flesh, and suddenly there became this barrier of flesh between him and God. But then he died, crucified. Now, some of us have lost children. But others, most of us, fortunately, we only have a concept of what it might be to lose a child. But to have the Father, knowing that this is what your Son was made flesh for, knowing that he was going to suffer and die, knowing that he would be made sin with our sin that we might become righteous with his righteousness, knowing that this exchange was to take place, and then Jesus living in the earth, knowing this is my purpose. My purpose is to die. My purpose is to become this ransom, to pay the debt. That's difficult. It's a price that we cannot fathom, I don't think, of the depth of what God had to pay for this. But now, what was the result of redemption? In 2 Corinthians 5, 17, and it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Oh, hallelujah. See, this is a result. We can experience the result, at least in part, if not in full. But we're a new creation. It says, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I like 18a. It says, now all things are of God. See, we're still trying to reason this out. We're still trying to rationalize this. But old things have passed away. Who you used to be is gone, but you are now a new creature created in Jesus Christ. Now, Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Not only have we become a new creature, not only are now all things of God, but we are forgiven of sin. Whatever guilt you have, stop it. Whatever sorrow you suffer, get rid of it. You have been forgiven. God is not upset with you. He is not holding anything against any of you any longer because Jesus was made to be sin with your sin. So part of our guilt, part of our sin consciousness is because you're still in the cell. You're still locked up, even though you're free, even though you're forgiven, yet all these bad things, oh, but when I was 12, I did this, or last week I did this. It's over. It's the past. Move on. Get ahead of that. The price has been paid. The forgiveness of sins has already been given to you. Let's go on to Galatians 3, another aspect. Galatians 3, 13, 14, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Not only has Christ redeemed us from the curse, now what does that mean? To be redeemed from the curse, well, you know, my family has this inheritance of bad health. That curse has been broken. Well, you know, my family is just, this is just who we are. You know, this is just what we're like. The curse has been broken. You don't have to be that way any longer. You don't have to live to those lower standards, whatever they might be in your mind. You don't have to. The curse has been broken. Yeah. Hallelujah. The curse doesn't have any hold on me anymore. I'm a new person. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away. That means the curse has been broken. The curse is no longer works on me. You have people say, but now your father was like this, and you're going to hear all those negative things. Uh-uh, I got a new daddy. I got a new daddy. Debbie shared a Bible verse in Sunday school this morning that says we are in him. We have the same father as Jesus had. Well, if I've got the same father as Jesus has, I'm not going to pay any attention to my natural father anymore, except for the good things that he passed on to me. But there are negative things. And it's like, I'm not receiving the negative things. I'm a new person in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away. The curse is broken. I don't have to live by those old patterns of thinking any longer. I'm free. I'm free. See, there's been a redemption here, and I am choosing to walk out of my prison. I'm choosing to walk out of my limitations into what God has prepared for me. Oh, hallelujah. See, this is good news here. Let's go back. That there's a promise in verse 14, Galatians 3:14. There's a promise that we receive through faith. That means you've got to believe for it. That means it's present, but it won't work for you if you don't turn the switch on. The switch is faith. I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, that's well and good, but I believe he's my redemption. Oh, that's well and good too, but I believe in his redemption so much I'm coming out of prison. See, now that's the reality of it. This is my participation in the redemption, because the redemption isn't complete until I choose to walk and live in the redemption. Well, people have said this about me all my life. Well, forget it. Let it go. My parents always did tell me I'll never amount to anything. Well, that was a lie, because that's from the devil. And our Heavenly Father won't lie to you. He says you're kings and priests. He says you're a special people. You're unique. You see, he calls you brothers with Jesus Christ. Ooh, hallelujah. He says, we have an inheritance. It says here, we have let me get it right. We have received that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Holy Spirit of God to be regenerated, to be reborn, to become like God in His eyes. Amen? To become of the same nature as God, full of love, full of life, full of joy. For this is who God has created us to be. Well, you just don't know the problems of this world. Yes, I do. But for the joy that was set before Him, Jesus endured the suffering of the cross. We suffer for a little bit of time, but I'm telling you, you've got to start looking to the joy. You've got to start looking. I am not trapped in my now because I have a future that God has set before me. And I'm living by faith in that future. And I'm calling that future now. See, if I believe that I have $1 million inherited, I'm going to live as though I have $1 million. Now, I'm not going to spend it before I get it. But I'm not going to be talking about my poverty. I'm not going to be talking about my lack. I'm going to be talking about the thing that God has set aside for me. You just wait till my ship comes in. You wait till these things are manifested. But I'm going to start walking like a millionaire now. I'm going to start thinking like a millionaire now. I'm going to start lifting my head up. I'm going to start walking tall. I'm going to stand up straight. I'm not going to, just don't speak nasty to me now. Be real careful. I'm so tender. Oh, no. Christ is in me, and He is mighty to pull down strongholds. Hallelujah. And that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead lives in me. Can you feel, if Christ is in you, can you feature Jesus saying, oh, I hope the devil doesn't come around today? You know, Jesus is a devil hunter. You know, there's a movie, I've never seen the movie, but the headline movie is Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer. Where do we get these ideas that Jesus Christ is the devil slayer? And when He came to the earth, He's looking for him. Huh? Jesus looking for the devil. He didn't have to look far. But He's looking for him. Jesus practiced putting the devil under His feet. He did that turning water into wine. Putting the devil, this is water. We're going to celebrate in this here wedding. We're going to have a good time. He cast the devil out. Ooh, we wouldn't do that today because that will make the devil mad at you. Excuse me? How much madder can the devil get? Just kick him out. Take him to task. Jesus didn't say, oh, Mr. Devil, don't show up in my meetings today. You come on, brother, because we're going to take you down. We're going to tear you up. We're going to show to everyone in this meeting how puny you are, how small you are, and how much power that God has given men over the devil. You think you're going to curse us? Ooh, devil, we're going to curse you. We're going to break every stronghold. We're going to tear down every argument that you have ever exalted against God. We are the powerful and the mighty. Hallelujah. Jesus, He enjoyed confrontations with the devil because He already knew the outcome. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, and we're back to 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're to glorify Him in our body. That's not when you get to heaven. That's now. We're to glorify Him in your spirit, which is reborn and recreated with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. They belong to God. See, you are God's possession. God possesses what He possesses. I mean, He inhabits it. How do you know that you've got a new home? You got a new home. How do we know that we are God's possession? He possesses it. He has moved in. The former owner has been kicked out. He now lives and abides and dwells within us. Amen. See, this is what we need to understand. In redemption, we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong in Christ Jesus. We were sold under sin, which worked its death in us, but now we are a new creation purchased by Yahweh through Jesus the Christ. Now my body and my spirit belong to God. My soul, my mind, my emotions, and my will must be renewed and by choice yielded to God. It's no longer I that liveth, it's Christ that liveth in me. It's no longer what I can do, it's what I let God do through me. Well, I'm choosing to just let God heal me. I'm choosing to let God break me free from demonic ways of thinking. I'm choosing to let God alter my course and give me the future and to walk into what God has prepared for me from the foundation of the world. Now, if you want to, you can stay where you are. But I really advise you not to do it. I advise you get out of the jail cell. Get out of limited thinking. Get out of learning. Because God has made a way for us to walk with Him in heavenly places now. Not when we die, but now. Go to Mark chapter 12. I got a couple more scriptures for you. Mark 12, 29 and 30. Jesus answered him that the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. See, the first commandment is, we're to love God. Well, yeah, but it means to love Him with all, everything you have. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Strength is power. Strength is financial, but it's also more than that. It's the power that you have in your life. Do you honor God? Do you love God with all these? I mean, we honor God with our mind. We can pretend that, Lord, I lift you up above all other things. But until your strength is committed to it, you're not loving God with everything. This is part of our redemption. I'm going to love God, my heart, my soul, my will, and my strength. I'm going to love Him, every fiber, every purpose. Robert Sladen preached years ago that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He says, what is the fervent prayer? What is a fervent prayer? It's when your mind, your will, and your strength, and your soul are all involved. That's fervent prayer. See, most of us pray like this. Father, which art in heaven, Lord, I worship you and I praise you, God. What time is it? Oh, 5 minutes. Oh, my. And so we're not all in it. Let's be truthful. We're not all in it. We're going to pray our 15 minutes or an hour a day, and we're just kind of going through the motions. And after when you first do it, man, you might really get into it, but by the end of the week, it's like, Lord, what time is it? We're moving on. Okay, let's go. Oh, what's another scripture I can pray? Oh, yeah, I can go through 91st Psalm again. I did that a couple days ago. Maybe I'll try Psalm 100. Maybe I'll do. It's like, but our heart's not in it. And then we wonder, why don't I see more? Well, in the same way, the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. This is the first commandment. What is it? Participate in the redemption. Participate in it. Let it become a part of us. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. No curse shall come against me in Jesus Christ. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Therefore, no sickness, no disease. I am elevated into heavenly places in Christ. He is my financier. He is the one who makes provision for me. I will not receive lack. I will receive abundance. And I've got to receive it in my soul before it manifests outwards. I've got to let this become who I am and generate in me on those things. Go to Matthew 16, 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains a whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, it's one thing to gain all the outward things, but if you don't change, you're still in the same spot. What's the difference between a man that's poor going to hell and a man that's rich that's going to hell? Earthly possessions don't mean that much. There's no difference between them. One says, I've got money. Well, can you redeem yourself? No. Can you get yourself, can you buy your way out of hell? No. With all the money you have, Satan's not interested in your money. See, some people are against this ransom message because they think, well, why did God pay the devil? He didn't pay the devil. Devil didn't get anything out of this. Devil didn't get a benefit out of the ransom that was paid. The ransom that was paid was the debt that you owed to God for rebellion. The one who benefited out of the death and the ransom was the Father, because he got his child back. He got his children back. And the devil lost everything. See, he wasn't paying the devil the ransom. He was paying the ransom off to himself. And only God can do that. Because it's a higher ransom than what we can even imagine. But God says, I'm paying myself. I'm paying the debt, because you owe me, because you have sinned and fallen away and I lost. And the very thing that God paid was to get you back to him. His reward is to see you born again. His reward is to walk with you. His reward is to see you walk in health and deliverance and power and strength in this life, to overcome the devil and to put him under your feet. That's the reward that Jesus got out of it. Oh, hallelujah. So let me ask you this question. Since I have been redeemed, why should I continue to live as if nothing has changed? Why do we continue living the old way, the way we've always lived when God has redeemed you? Why are you falling back into the same curse when God has delivered you from the curse? Why are we living in the old way of thinking when God has given you the mind of Christ? See, these people that preach it, well, you never know what God's going to do. They don't have the mind of Christ. Jesus said with all boldness, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you want to know what the Father is going to do, if you want to know what the mind of God is like, look to Jesus. He shows us the Father so we can know what Daddy's doing. So we can walk in the benefits of a God who loves us and cares for us and wants us to come back to him. See, the Bible tells us to walk worthy of your calling. It tells us we may be in the world, but we're no longer of the world. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 6. I want you to see this. Go in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 14. Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just when you look at issues in your body or in your soul, just count, I'm dead to that. That old way of thinking, I'm dead. I'm not listening to that thought anymore. That thought of I'll never amount to anything, just I'm dead to that. I'm not believing that. I'm not going to walk in that. I'm not going to accept that anymore. That your life is over, I'm not accepting that in Jesus' name. No. You'll never become anybody. I'm rejecting that in the name of Jesus Christ. See, this is all the results of sin. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I've got to find out from the scriptures and from the revelation of the Spirit who I am in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to start believing that. I'm going to start believing what God says. Why should I believe what the devil is saying about me? He's a liar. And yet we give him more place in our lives than we give to God. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. You can't do that. I can do all things. Well, I just think you're thinking too highly of yourself. I'm not thinking highly of me at all. I'm thinking highly of God in me. Because I'm not glorying in what I can do. I'm glorying in what God can do through me. Again, it's him, he that lives in me. Amen. Let's go on to verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. That means now, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Man, Paul had to preach this. He had to drill this into people. Read this again. For you, now think about him preaching. For sin shall not have dominion over you. In other words, stop giving it place. Just quit it. Just stop yielding to that. When you get angry, stop yielding to it. When you get frustrated, stop yielding to it. When you want to beat somebody to a pulp, don't yield to it. Stop it. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. For you are not under law, but under grace. We need to let grace start reigning in us. We need to let the love of God start reigning in us. We need to let His Spirit rule over us. Lord, you'll give me wisdom if I need it. If there's any situation, God, I thank you. You've already given me the upper hand in this. I thank you, God, I don't start out behind the cue ball. Lord, I am the stick. And I knock that cue ball wherever I want it to go, or eight ball. I'm the one with the stick. I'm the one that shoots the balls in the pockets. I'm not behind any ball. So I'm in charge. I'm taking charge. I'm walking in charge because I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I have come out of my prison, out of my jail cell, and I am now walking in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Man, we could just preach on that for a while. A couple of things I want you to get out of this, because this is real important. Jesus died for our sins, and we are crucified in Jesus Christ, but we are made alive in Christ Jesus. And our new life comes from the Christ who has redeemed us in the flesh. This is powerful. This is an awesome thing that God has for us. Let's go to verse 14. Sin shall not have dominion. Sin shall not have. To get that into our heart. See, we are to present ourselves alive to God as though we're alive from the dead. We're not dead creatures. We're not limited by the things of this world any longer. We've been raised to a higher status in God. Amen. John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If who makes you free? If the Son. That's redemption. It's not if you can make yourself free. No. This isn't my will over the will. This is me surrendering to the will of God. This is me giving my life over to Jesus Christ. This is not mind over matter. It's God over the things of this world. It's God who has set me free from the limitations of this world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. Gordon, you still have a body. I know I still have a body. It still has aches and pains every now and then. But praise God, I dominate my body. I tell my body what to do. And by faith and by the power of Jesus Christ, it has to do what I tell it to do. Because I am not my body. My body is subject to me. In the same way, the sin that the devil wants to lead me into does not dominate me. I dominate it. And I will not allow my body or my mind or my will to be led by sin wherever sin wants to take me to go. But I'm going to let Christ lead me. This is why it's so important to have that relationship with God. Not just on paper, but to live it. To live this life with God, because He will lead us. And if the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. But it's only Jesus that can pay the price. It's only Jesus that has paid the price to get you out of bondage and out of slavery and into the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Glory, 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 glory to God. Aren't you grateful for Jesus, for what He's done? Aren't you grateful He's paid the price for us? Oh, there's nothing left that we have to pay. We just have to receive what Jesus has done. I mean, I say that it sounds so easy, and I'll say this again because I was sharing it with a person this week. Being a Christian is easy. It's easy. It is so easy. All you have to do is die. Dying's the hard part. Dying isn't easy, but once you're dead, oh, the resurrection power of Christ can now work in us. And now the life that was in Christ fills us. Oh, I can live by that life of Christ. Why? Because I've put to death my own deeds and my own working. And Lord, I just trust you for everything. For everything. For everything. I trust you, Lord, to wake me up. I trust you, God, to get me to work. I trust you, God, for my paycheck. I trust you, God, you're going to grant me above beyond my paycheck. You're going to give me witty inventions. Lord, I just thank you, Lord. You lead me. You guide me. But Lord, I'm dying to what I want, and I'm just yielding myself to you. And that's called being led by the Spirit. It's called walking with Christ. It's called walking in the redemption. Out of my cell, out of my limitations. God, not my will, but your will be done. Father God, we give you praise today. We thank you, Father, for this birth of Jesus in the earth. And we thank you, God, that what you started in a manger has manifested at the right hand of the Father. And God, you have given Jesus all authority in heaven and on earth. And Father, you have raised us as born-again people. You have raised us up to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And God, I give you praise for this today. That we are no longer what we used to be. We are new creatures in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the mind of Christ himself, that we would be able to do all things that you ask us to do. Lord, we're able to accomplish this. We're able to complete the task, to finish the journey, Father, because of the joy that is set before us of hearing you say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So, Father, we praise you that as we obey you, as we follow after you, God, you take joy in us, and we please you by trusting you and by relying upon you for everything in life. God, we give you the praise that you have redeemed us from every curse, that you have forgiven us of our sins, God, that you have made us new creatures in Jesus Christ. We thank you for these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.